VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk. We are going to be having a news roundup day today. Sandy's been busy all week gathering stories and getting them ready for the broadcast today. And folks, we are living in some troublesome times. And certainly we're going to heighten some of the matters that are going on around the world and also here within the United States in particular, and need to be certainly concerned as to where we're heading and the importance of getting out the message of the gospel in such times. It's critical. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and we need to be promoting the word of God. We need to be declaring it and trust that you are faithful in a Bible-believing, a Bible-preaching local church, and certainly we need to see folk come to faith in Christ, because that is really the solution to the issues that we're talking about in life. But we observe the times in which we live and also the urgency that we have of spreading the good news in such a time as this. And so we're going to rehearse some of the matters that have taken place through the course of this week. And let's be better prayer warriors for these matters, prayer warriors for those who are leading us in positions of authority, and being informed on critical issues, because many of you go into the polls here in days to come, casting votes during the primaries and then also the general election this fall as well. We're going to pick up with the coronavirus, as it's been making national and international news quite a bit. Fox Business reporting that the number of cases reported in China spiked by 15,000 in a single day. Infections now over 60,000, more than 1,360 people dead from the virus. An American biotech company says it created a coronavirus vaccine 3 hours after getting access to the virus's genetic sequence in mid-January. And now scientists are racing to get the vaccine on the market in record time. The pharmaceutical company based in Pennsylvania, they have a lab in San Diego, saying, "We were able to rapidly construct our vaccine in a matter of about 3 hours once we had the DNA sequence from the virus," and mentioned that their goal is to start phase one of human testing sometime early this summer. That is yet a long time away. The vaccinereaction.org reports the New York Times February 6th said the first mainstream media outlet to report that Chinese government authorities responding to the country's coronavirus epidemic had ordered round-the-clock, house-to-house police searches to take the temperatures of all residents in Wuhan and detain anyone found to be sick or suspected of being sick, using force if necessary, and then warehousing them in enormous quarantine centers. On February 8th and 9th, the UK newspaper Daily Mail posted a video filmed in Wuhan showing people suspected of being infected forcefully being dragged from their homes by officials wearing masks and white protective suits as the men and women shout out in protest and unsuccessfully struggle to break free. Chinese authorities have encouraged people to inform on each other, with money rewards being offered to those who report suspicions about neighbors they believe may be infected. In some cases, doors of homes have been barricaded from the outside to keep those suspected of being infected inside, with warning signs posted to keep others away. On February 11th, the Director General of the World Health Organization declared that China's coronavirus outbreak poses a very grave threat for the rest of the world. ChristianNews.net reports that videos out of China have described as apocalyptic, as they show workers in Wuhan fighting the coronavirus by spraying city streets with disinfectant, authorities seizing for quarantine those who are suspected or have been exposed or infected. Joy Drake of U.S.-based company Decon 7 told Business Insider that he's familiar with the Wuhan wet market, where the virus started to have afflicted a human. They said you have live fish, you have dead fish, you have other animals in there. There's no hygiene standards. They just rinse things down with a garden hose. Doesn't do anything. You're just basically creating a bacteria soup. China's been placed around 56 million people under quarantine. Yes, indeed, sanitation workers redoubling efforts, spraying down entire towns, sending trucks filled with low-concentration bleach and water solutions into the streets, dispatching hazmat suit workers into train stations and malls to wipe every single nook and cranny. According to the Epic a report from the Epic Times, funeral home workers are also struggling to keep up with the number of bodies to be cremated. A man from one of Wuhan's three main funeral homes, identified as Mr. Yun, stated, "We can't stop because we can't leave the bodies outside for a long time. We really need more manpower." He said the funeral home is transporting at least 100 bodies a day. "We work 24 hours. We're very tired. We're on the verge of collapsing. We really need help." End of quote. This next story is rather disgusting. Activist Mommy reporting that adult website is offering free X-rated live streaming to quarantine cruise ship passengers. This offer extended to some 7,300 passengers on the Diamond Princess and World Dream cruise ships docked in Japan outside of Hong Kong. Absolutely disgusting. From townhall.com, Katie Pavlich writes that the communist Chinese government continues to claim that they have the virus under control, but a lack of transparency and leaked videos show otherwise. U.S. senators are demanding answers, calling out China for its failures and dishonesty, calling on the World Health Organization to do more on this issue. Tom Cotton, senator, has called for a complete shutdown of air travel between the U.S. and China. This also very interesting from Breitbart, that two of China's largest cities have granted the authority to requisition personal property in order to halt the spread of the virus. In both of these cities, the legislators approved emergency measures that would enable officials to temporarily seize homes, commercial property, public venues, and vehicles thought to be contaminated, as well as commanding private businesses to produce any materials deemed necessary in fighting the coronavirus. Shortages of medical equipment and protective gear have been a persistent problem in areas where the virus is spreading, and the shortage of food and supplies for quarantine populations are becoming a serious issue. The emergency legislation also gives the city government broad powers to shut down commercial operations, public events, schools, and other venues where the virus could spread rapidly. And just one more story on this. This came out from the Daily Wire this week. WTHR reported Monday that the U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents intercepted a package at Dulles International Airport in Virginia that was filled with small, dead birds. According to officials, a traveler arrived on a flight from Beijing, China, January 27th, where the traveler's final destination was to a residence in Prince George's County, Maryland. During a baggage examination, CPB, Customs and Border Patrol, specialist discovered a package with pictures of a cat and dog that the passenger said was cat food. Well, the package, according to officials, contained a bunch of unknown small birds about 2.5 to 3.5 inches in length. The dead birds are prohibited from importation to the U.S. as unprocessed birds pose a potentially significant disease threat to our nation's poultry industries and, more alarming, to citizens as well. One other story from China, though, and that is from Christian Headlines. Government officials within China have confiscated Bibles from churches in recent months and threatened fines as part of a intensified crackdown on Christianity and an effort to eradicate illegal publications, according to a new report. The campaign has targeted illegal underground churches as well as three self-churches, which are registered with the government. A pastor of one of these churches stated, "We are thinking of asking our congregation members to hide them in the mountains." The pastor told them that the church owned only legally printed Bibles. Those are Bibles printed within the country, but the officials nonetheless seized those Bibles. One pastor said the local Religious Affairs Bureau has threatened fines ranging from $430 to $1,400, that's in U.S. dollars, for churches that are caught with illegal Bibles. Very interesting situation going on in Virginia, as Virginia Democrats walked out on as a pastor is Gavel Down, who is taking a stand for life and marriage. House members took umbrage with the pro-life, pro-marriage minister's message, and the House Speaker cut him off while he was still praying. A pastor's forceful words about the sanctity of life, the traditional family, became a focal point of controversy. Democratic lawmakers walked out on the invocation, the House Speaker forcing him to end early with a bang of her gavel. He was invited by a Republican. It's the Reverend Dr. Robert M. Grant Jr., the Father's Way Church, delivered the opening prayer for the Virginia House of Delegates Tuesday session and took the opportunity to remind legislators of God's values and God's judgment. Listen in.
I pray that we do not provoke God's anger by making laws that can destroy the fabric of this great state and our wonderful country. God is love, God is merciful, God is holy, and God is also judgment. Please do not provoke his anger and bring wrath upon this state by what you create as law. Biblical history is very clear. His wrath upon the earth is documented. We are not exempt. We are not exempt. If he does not grant us mercy for the atrocities that are being done, we will eventually encounter the judgment of the Almighty God, and may the Lord have mercy upon us all. I pray that you may understand that all life is precious and worthy of a chance to be born. God is the giver of life, and people have no right or authority to take life. The unborn has rights, and those rights need to be protected. They should never be denied the right to exist, the right to develop, or the right to have a family. The Word of God has given us a warning: woe to anyone who harms an innocent child. Every one of you sitting here today can guarantee these rights to these little innocent children of Virginia. They are in their trimesters as we speak. Please do not ignore their little voices. I pray for a heart change today, and may the Lord God have mercy upon this leadership.
Amen.
I pray that this chamber will uphold the Virginia family, that the bills and laws being passed will always protect the biblical traditional marriage as God instructed the first man and the first woman in the Bible, that the two shall be one flesh, that a man and a woman shall be fruitful and multiply. We should never rewrite what God has declared. If a state wants to use God's law, then it needs to be respected. If it's not yours to change or alter its wording, the Bible is the copyright of God's word. Marriage is to join a biological male and a biological female in holy matrimony, not to provoke the Almighty God. Without laws to protect traditional marriage, Virginia will be reduced to increase fatherless children and welfare victims and homelessness tax burden to us all.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You hear that right in the middle of his speaking, the chair gaveled and started saying the Pledge of Allegiance. One unidentified Democrat was heard yelling out, "Is this a prayer or a sermon?" That Virginia Mercury reported. Another, who is a pastor, complained that the strong pro-life, pro-family remarks were totally disrespectful to all of us in this House. At least one Republican also complains that this wasn't the place or the time to do that, but rather a time we need to be working together and not being divisive, speculating that perhaps Grant was ill-instructed, didn't realize what he was here to do. I'm going to share with you what the pastor said afterwards and his response to it. Don't go away. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does the camel store its water in its hump?
No, Chris, the camel does not store water in its hump, but it uses that hump to store fat from which it draws energy when it goes for long stretches without food or water. Actually, there are many specific design characteristics about a camel. It has extra long eyelashes to protect its eyes from wind in the desert. It has the ability to close up its nostrils to protect its lungs, and wide pads on its feet, which make walking on sand easier. Its thick coat of hair protects it from extreme temperatures. It has lots of physiological abilities which are moderated when it has to go without water. The camel has played a very important role in human history. In many ways, it's an obnoxious creature, but it's a marvel of God's design. He created all land animals on day 6 of creation week, back in Genesis.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
You are listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Yeah, that was a pastor speaking and praying before the Virginia House of Delegates on Tuesday. This is a Reverend Dr. Robert M. Grant Jr. of the Father's Way Church. And he was gaveled right in the middle of what he was saying. They started saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I wonder if they understood. They said the words, one nation under God. Well, the pastor himself, is standing firm. He said, I think the State House belongs to all the citizens, and all the citizens have a voice. If it's my turn to have a voice and I'm a pastor, what do you expect from me? If you don't want to hear what a pastor has to say, then don't invite one. Well, Virginia has gained national notoriety for its far-left turn after Democrats' November 2019 takeover of both chambers of the legislature. For almost a year beforehand, Governor Northam had been a lightning rod for criticism for defending the prospect of letting a doctor and family decide to let die a fully delivered newborn that was deemed to be non-viable or have severe deformities. The state legislature recently passed the so-called Reproductive Health Protections Act that would empower various non-physician health workers to commit first trimester abortions. They repealed the 24-hour waiting period for abortion, eliminated the requirements that a woman seeking an abortion undergo counseling, be offered a chance to see an ultrasound. Virginia Democrats are also advancing a litany of pro-LGBT measures, including a repeal of the state's unenforced pre-Obergefell statute prohibiting same-sex marriage, a ban on counseling minors to help them overcome unwanted same-sex attraction, adding sexual orientation and gender identity to non-discrimination rules, the ability to easily change the sex listed on the official birth certificate. Folks, it's unbelievable what they're doing there. A mandate that health insurance covers sex reassignment surgery, the creation of a new model curriculum on social justice, legislation mandating transgender access to opposite-sex facilities, recognition of preferred pronouns, gender-confused boys' participations in girl sports, and more. You see also how they're gutting the Second Amendment. And this pastor was there to pray and to proclaim God's judgment. And he said, basically, if you don't want to hear from what a pastor has to say, then don't invite a pastor. Let's go to FoxNews.com, another issue. The White House says President Trump is not bothered or deterred after Attorney General Bill Barr told ABC News yesterday that the president's tweets make it impossible for me to do my job. His comments came just days after the president criticized Justice Department's prosecutors for recommending a 9-year prison sentence for his former advisor Roger Stone. Senior DOJ leaders have intervened and adjusted the sentences recommended downward. All four prosecutors on the case stepped down within hours. I think it's time to stop the tweeting about Department of Justice criminal cases, Barr said. I'm not going to be bullied or influenced by anybody, whether it's Congress, a newspaper editorial board, or the president. He said, I'm going to do what I think is right, and you know, I cannot do my job here at the department with a constant background commentary that undercuts me. Strong words coming from the Attorney General. And PJ Media reporting, Nancy Pelosi hot under the collar about the president tweeting about the long sentence that deep state prosecutors suggested for Roger Stone. And yes, guess what? Promising for new investigations now into President Trump. Okay, Western Journal saying that the forewoman of the jury that convicted Roger Stone on charges of obstruction last year has been discovered to have a history of Democratic activism and anti-Trump sentiments. Tamika Hart, the jury forewoman and a former board member from Memphis City Schools in Tennessee, has been discovered to have made social media posts expressing her distaste for the president's President Trump and his followers, as well as revealing her feelings about the Stone trial even before he was convicted. Washington Free Beacon reports Senator Sherrod Brown Wednesday said Congress is not doing its job of redistributing income in a fair way. What was that? Can I hit the rewind button here? Congress is not doing its job of redistributing income in a fair way? Is that the job of Congress, to redistribute income? He said, quote, "We know Congress isn't doing its job to redistribute income in any way that's fair to hundreds of millions of Americans. We know that," Brown said during a hearing at the Senate Banking Committee. He said, Senator McConnell and the president have refused to raise a minimum wage. It's been stuck for 11 years at under $8. They took away overtime for about 2 to 3 million Americans because of truncating the overtime rule, tax cuts for the rich, and now tax cuts for Medicare. Is that the job of Congress, to redistribute wealth, redistribute income? There's somebody running for president that wants to see that happen. Let's go to another commentary here from townhall.com. The Iowa Party chairman, Democratic Party chairman Troy Price, Wednesday resigned from his position after the fiasco that took place following the state's caucuses, saying, "While it is my desire to stay in this role and see this process through to completion, I do believe it is time for the Iowa Democratic Party to begin looking forward, and my presence in my current role makes that more difficult. Therefore, I will resign as chair of the Iowa Democratic Party effective upon the completion of my replacement." According to the New York Times, there has been concern about the appearance of cronyism, especially involved in the hotly contested caucus app. FoxNews.com reporting Senator Bernie Sanders won the New Hampshire primary, catapulting the 78-year-old Democratic Socialist to the front of the presidential primary field. He's been leading Pete Buttigieg and several other candidates as results came in through the evening. Some candidates sought to undercut the importance of the election, but history suggested otherwise. And according to Fox News, no Democrat has ever become the party's presidential nominee without finishing first or second in New Hampshire. We'll see if that holds up or not. Newsmax.com, President Trump early Wednesday complained that CNN and MSNBC were refusing to talk about his record-setting numbers of voters in New Hampshire and Iowa and slammed both networks as being fake news. Fox News, Fox and Friends reported Wednesday that President Trump had netted 120,476 votes in New Hampshire's race, eclipsing numbers tallied by former President Barack Obama, who had just over 49,000. George W. That was in 2012 when he was running for re-election. George W. Bush, 53,962 in 2004, and Bill Clinton of 76,976 in 1996. So in the midterm of the president, President Donald Trump, 120,476. Well, after that campaign rally in New Hampshire, President Trump, according here to the Daily Wire, took an unannounced trip to Dover Air Base to take part in a somber, dignified transfer ceremony for two 28-year-old soldiers that were killed in Afghanistan. The cases, Mike Pence stood at attention. A light rain as the two U.S. flagged draped transfer cases were carried down the plane's ramp by six members of the military. They were contained the remains of Sergeant First Class Antonio Rodriguez of Las Cruces, New Mexico, and Sergeant First Class Javier Gutierrez of San Antonio, who had both died in a firefight. Okay, also, that's a story that's not really been making the news at all. This is from Todd Starnes. Gregory Tim arrested after he rammed a voter registration tent in a Walmart parking lot. This is a was a Republican voting registration tent. Several Republican volunteers had to scramble to avoid being run over. Fortunately, no one was seriously injured. The suspect said he did not like President Trump, the redacted police report read. Very interesting. I wonder if this had been a Bernie Sanders tent or a Pete Buttigieg or Liz Warren, would the news media have covered the story at that point? It's interesting because what we are seeing here from the newsbusters is that the apparent attempt to run down multiple Trump supporters registering voters in Florida happened Saturday afternoon and drew outrage from both of the state senators and President Trump himself. The evening newscast of ABC, CBS, and NBC completely ignored the vicious attack. Well, NBC's Sunday Today program the next day gave 25 seconds to the story. And let's see. Let's move on to another issue. And that is from LifeSiteNews.com. Democratic Socialist presidential candidate Bernie Sanders reiterated his pro-abortion promise to voters last Friday evening, pledging to enshrine abortion in federal law and give more of the taxpayers' money to the abortion industry. We see also they report that he said, "I will never nominate any person to the Supreme Court or the federal courts in general who is not 100% pro Roe v. Wade." Number two, we have to codify Roe v. Wade into legislation. Number three, we have to significantly expand funding for Planned Parenthood, he said. He also declared that being pro-choice is an absolutely essential of being a Democrat. Okay? Again, he said that being pro-choice is an absolutely essential part of being a Democrat. Listen in to that debate from MSNBC.
Then is there such a thing as a pro-life Democrat in your vision of the party?
I think being pro-choice is an absolutely essential part of being a Democrat. If you're asking me, and I think I may be wrong on this, I think in the Senate, probably 95% of the Democrats are pro-choice. You have a few who are not. In the House, maybe even a higher percentage. So that's kind of what my view is. I think by this time in history, I think when we talk about what a Democrat is, I think being pro-choice is essentially an essential part of that.
Being pro-choice, being a Democrat, it's an essential part of being a Democrat. Very interesting. A matter of fact, a Democratic presidential candidate received some heat. This was Andrew Yang early in this week when he was after Friday night, he was told to drop out after admitting that he thinks abortion is a tragedy. Even to say those words as a Democrat, abortion is a tragedy, there's no room for you here. Drop out. We heard the clip also previously of Pete Buttigieg saying that he would make no concessions whatsoever in the platform for those who declare themselves to be pro-life Democrats. Also, what's interesting is during the debate, the candidates were asked, given what you know about Soleimani, if your national security team came to you with an opportunity to strike, would Soleimani have been dead or would he still be alive under your presidency? This is from Robert Spencer, Jihad Watch. Buttigieg complained it was a bad idea, claiming Trump didn't know what he was doing. Sanders said that the move would lead to international anarchy. Biden, who opposed the hit on Osama bin Laden, said there was no evidence of an imminent threat. No evidence of an imminent threat. You know, is he privy to high-level security briefings about threats? I wonder. Let's see. Oh, we don't have a lot of time to get into this, but the headline is certainly from WND.com. It's not just the Bidens now, but John Kerry, Mitt Romney, the Clintons, Pelosi, Soros, all are tied to Ukraine in some regard. You can check out that full story at WND.com. Elizabeth Warren, this is from LifeNews.com, has a plan to reverse the actions President Trump has taken to protect the rights of unborn in her Restoring Integrity and Competence to Government After Trump plan. She explains that if elected, she would weed out the pro-life employees who Trump appointed to federal agencies. All of the top Democratic presidential candidates support unrestricted abortions through all 9 months of pregnancy, want to force taxpayers to pay for them. During a November presidential debate, Warren said she believes abortion rights are human rights and she will fight for abortion if elected president. Here is another interesting quote. OneNewsNow.com reports, Pete Buttigieg, he's known to quote scripture and is considered by some to be a moderate. But how can you be moderate when you think taking innocent life of the unborn? He says he's a friend of religious liberty, but he was asked about the religious liberty at a campaign rally, and his quote was this: "The right to religious freedom ends where religion is being used and is an excuse to harm people." Didn't explain what he meant, but it can't use religious freedom in a means to harm people. That's where your religious freedom ends. We'll be right back.
How is your marriage relationship? Do you have a spirit-filled marriage? Is your marriage one in which the lost world can look in and see Christ represented? Many of us know that we are called to have such a marriage, but fail to make it happen, perhaps due to lack of knowledge on the topic. In the booklet, What Does a Spirit-Filled Marriage Look Like?, biblical counselor Susan Heck draws principles from the book of Ephesians. She presents 13 doctrines that guide a marriage that will bring glory to God. You'll learn about humility, forgiveness, generosity, unity, and much more. You'll also learn not only to know these principles, but how to grow them in your marriage relationship. VCY is offering one copy of this booklet for a donation of $6, 5 copies for a donation of $24, or 10 copies for $42. Just call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
That last break hit me kind of quick here. I have gotten through about half my stack so far, so let me just grab a few more stories here. By the way, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she is going to have a network news anchor that's going to primary her in the upcoming election. Activist Mommy reporting there's a Tennessee bill that is looking to shift the burden of keeping pornography away from the eyes of children from parents onto internet service providers by requiring users to actively opt in if they wish to access porn via the internet. Those of you in Tennessee listening, it's HB 2294. It's called the Safer Internet for Minors Act. Very interesting legislation taking place. Rather than opt out, you would have to opt in. From Christian Headlines, Andrew Brazier, President Trump's 51st Federal Appeals Court judge has been confirmed by the Senate this week. He will take office with the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. According to the Washington Times, senators voted along party lines, 52 to 43. Mitch McConnell said, my motto for the year is to leave no vacancy behind. President Trump has a record number of confirmations, 51 federal appeal court judges, 133 federal district court judges, and 2 U.S. Supreme Court judges. LifeSiteNews.com, the White House submitted its $4.89 trillion annual budget proposal to Congress Monday, laying out a plan that contains numerous spending cuts, including defunding abortion providers such as Planned Parenthood. It projects a $4.6 trillion deficit reduction, but rolls back the timetable for eliminating the deficit from 8 years to 15. On the pro-life front, the plan calls for eliminating the taxpayer funding Planned Parenthood receives via the U.S. Department of Labor, Health and Human Services, as well as funding for the pro-abortion United Nations Population Fund. It would also strengthen federal conscience protections by adopting a Conscience Protection Act. LifeSiteNews.com reports the state of Kentucky slated to have a second abortion provider beginning in March after Democratic Governor Andy Beshear's administration has approved a Louisville Planned Parenthood provisional license on January 24th. Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky initially applied for a surgical abortion license in 2015. That nice license was twice denied by the previous governor, Republican Governor Matt Bevin. The first time in 2015 of December, because Planned Parenthood did not comply with the Kentucky law and requiring abortion facilities to have the transport agreement. And again, the second time in 2016, the new governor of Kentucky says, come on in. Oklahoma. This is LifeNews.com. Oklahoma House lawmakers want to make it clear that killing human beings should never be a part of the medical profession. On Thursday, they passed the State House Bill 1182 to revoke the medical licenses of doctors who do abortions. Doctors who abort unborn babies would lose their licenses for at least 6 months and have to pay a fine of at least $500. LifeSiteNews.com telling us Mitch McConnell is going to be leading the Senate voting on banning late-term abortion and infanticide. The Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act that would ban most late-term abortions past 5 months of pregnancy, and the Born Alive Infant Protection Act that would require basic medical care for newborns born during failed abortion. West Virginia, a bill to protect babies who survive abortions from infanticide, very close to becoming law in West Virginia. This is the Senate unanimously passed the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. That's House Bill 4007. The House passed the bill in January, and I believe the governor there will sign it. Colorado Democrats voted down a bill mandating medical care to born alive survivors of abortion, reports the Daily Wire. Here's an interesting story from Jihad Watch. After engaging in terrorism in Iraq, an Al-Qaeda leader came to America as a refugee and applied for Social Security benefits, Social Security disability benefits, because his injuries in Iraq had made it too hard for him to work. Do you get this, folks? An Al-Qaeda leader comes to America as a refugee and applying for disability for bullet wounds that he had in his terrorism. 2006, Ali Youssef Ahmad El-Nouri was the emir of an Al-Qaeda terrorist group in Fallujah, the scene of brutal battles between Al-Qaeda and America, where an American soldier suffered the most casualties. And despite the defeats, Al-Qaeda remained deeply entrenched in the city. They were able to seize a number of neighborhoods in 2014. And then El-Nouri moved to Arizona, claiming to be a refugee from Al-Qaeda. Unbelievable. Okay, yes, LifeSite News taking action here against the drag queen who's going to scheduled to be appearing on Sesame Street. Billy Porter, the drag queen, LGBT activist, unhappy that a LifeSite petition is asking Sesame Street to drop the upcoming show where he appears in drag. Billy Porter has been quoted in the New York Post as saying, "Stay out of my bedroom and you'll be fine. This is none of your business." But the director of advocacy at LifeSite, Gualberto Garcia Jones, responded to Porter by saying, "No one wishes to intrude upon Billy Porter's private affairs. What 55,000 people have asked is to protect children from being exposed to sexualized, gender-confusing attire and notions on Sesame Street." Matter of fact, LifeSiteNews.com is asking people to make their feelings known about this issue, calling Warner Media, who run HBO Max for AT&T, at 212-484-8000. That's 212-484-8000. LifeSite has contacted AT&T, the parent company of Warner Media and HBO Max, producers of Sesame Street. Again, that's 212-484-8000. Let's open some phone lines. I'll share a few more stories while we're waiting for your calls. Our number to Crosstalk today is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. If you want to comment on these or other current event stories, 800-733-9829. From LifeSiteNews.com, the Swiss have voted by a large majority to make homophobia a criminal offense. On Sunday, 63.1% of the voters who turned out for several popular initiative referendums agreed that discrimination, hate speech, and other forms of political insults aimed at homosexuals because of their sexual orientation would be punishable by a fine up to 3 years imprisonment. Sunday's vote is also expected to reopen the issue of same-sex marriage, adoption, and medically assisted procreation for lesbians in Switzerland, where to date only civil unions are open to same-sex couples. And also coming to us from Breitbart, Nike has joined a group of businesses in signing a letter of support to defeat a Tennessee bill that would prevent biological male athletes from being able to compete against girls. The letter, sponsored by some 142 businesses in the state, claims that other states will retaliate against Tennessee if it passes laws to prevent biological boys from competing as transgender girls, and the resulting actions by outsiders will be bad for Tennessee businesses. Well, we'll hear what you have to say on the issues today. Let's begin with Greg in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
My call. For the Roger Stone article, a lot of people are of the understanding that the Department of Justice, they're getting that confused with the Justice Branch, and they're criticizing President Trump for interfering in the sentencing of Roger Stone. But actually, the DOJ does report to the executive branch, so it's not across any branches, and that's perfectly acceptable in my view.
Great. Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you for the comment. What's also interesting is that you've got people like Joe Biden saying, you know, nobody should be in jail for a nonviolent crime, but yet you have people in his party that are outraged by a reduction in sentence for Roger Stone.
Right. It's just so inconsistent. It's just ridiculous.
Thank you, Greg, for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Missouri. Randy is calling. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to chime in on the article yesterday from Judicial Watch where they obtained records from the National Institute of Health in regards to their buying baby parts from Planned Parenthood. through their baby parts broker, Advanced mm-hmm. Bioscience Resources. Now, I guess they were. It shows in the records that they had actually raised the prices at Advanced Bioscience Resources had raised their prices, so that violates some kind of federal law. But it also shows that it could have violated Planned Parenthood's tax exemption as well. And as we know, a few months back when the Center for Medical Progress was on trial, Planned Parenthood had admitted that the videos submitted that were, or at least part of the trial, that they were authentic. So here you've got two different examples of not only the felonies that were committed, but tax exemption violations by Planned Parenthood. So and plus the investigation that took place back in 2016 by the Congress on Planned Parenthood and the various violations they had. So I guess the question would be: is where's the Department of Justice? They talked about indicting Planned Parenthood or investigating Planned Parenthood 33 months ago. Under Jeff Sessions.
Yeah. It's been absent as far as news or any kind of action that we're aware of. I mean, when these videos were progressively being released, I mean, each one was more horrifying than the previous. And indeed, and yet we see action being taken against the producers of the undercover videos, and that those cases are still going on in California.
Right, and like I said, it's not a question anymore whether the videos were either authentic or real. They've admitted it on court record that mm-hmm. they're real.
Yeah. Thank you, Randy. Let's go to Whit in Ashtabula, Ohio. You're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Whit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just a quick comment about that article. An article you had earlier in the week about the lady in Iowa who wanted to take back her caucus vote when she found out Pete was gay.
Yeah.
That only goes to stress you should know your candidate and what they stand for before you vote. Hmm.
Indeed, and that's been, as the person said, that's been pretty common knowledge, and it has been, and the networks have declared that. It's been in his campaign literature, and when you see him kissing his so-called husband, that ought to give you a clue, too.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder. The other thing, have you heard any speculation that whole thing might have been a setup?
No, I saw the video. I believe that the individual was very genuinely sincere that she had not known that information.
Okay. But, again, know the candidate and what they stand for before you vote, because once you vote, you can't take it back and change it.
Yep.
And it's very important.
Good point, Whit. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go next to Delbert in Lyonsville, Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Okay. What I want to comment on is China over there. You know, they're trying to kill all the Christians or whatever they have to do. I think God sent this disease on them over there to destroy part of that country, maybe all of it, you know. Yeah, and these killing all the children, you know, all these Democrats and stuff, they're going to pay. They're going to pay one way or the other. You can already see that a lot of the judges and Trump and the other people are taking up for the babies, and I love it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Delbert, for sharing your thoughts. It is true that we're all going to stand before Christ someday, either as Savior or Judge. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more here on Crosstalk, a news roundup day, and have some open lines here at 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. We continue our series now on the dangers of discourse or dialogue with the cultural Marxist. As we've been saying, there's nothing wrong with having a debate. But when you have a discourse or dialogue, you're trying to merge your worldview with theirs and find common ground. You can't do that. And when you do that, involved in discourse or dialogue with them, you fall into trap and danger number 8 in our list. You have allowed your cultural Marxist enemy to define the language. You're giving validity to their language, like woke, white privilege, social justice. You're allowing them to control the narrative. You're setting up the conflict. You're walking into a trap, and you're setting yourself up to be marginalized and your values marginalized. And ultimately, what you're doing is you're giving legitimacy to their values. You're saying, I'll talk with you and try to find common ground because there is some value to what you believe. And guess what? You have surrendered to the psychological process and submitted yourself to all 8 dangers. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. A news roundup day here today. Received an email from Steve McConkie today from Four Winds USA indicating that a transgender athlete is qualified for the 2020 Olympic marathon trials to be held February 29th in Atlanta. The race will determine who will represent the USA at the Tokyo Olympics. Will be the first transgender athlete to compete in the marathon trials. Okay, let's go to Ben, who is calling in from Medford, Oregon. Ben, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. You know, I just wanted to comment on what you were talking about earlier about if basically if you're a Democrat, you can't be pro or anti-abortion.
You cannot be pro-life, according to the main candidates here. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so with that being said, you have to be pro-murder to be a Democrat. Can you really call yourself a Christian then?
Interesting thought, Ben. Thank you for calling. Esther is calling from Foley, Alabama. You're on the air.
Yes, I just want to make a comment on all of these issues that the Democrats are not fighting the Republicans. They're fighting God, and God always wins. And we just have to keep praying fervently to Chronicles.
Yeah, we do. And I'm sorry, we got to go, Esther. Your radio in the background is causing a lot of feedback here. Merle in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, 2 bits of information. Within the hour, they just said Andrew McCabe will not be prosecuted for lying to Congress. Also, Pete Buttigieg is not the all-American boy he portrays himself to be. His dad was actually a Marxist college professor. And I thought that information needed to get to the public.
Thank you, Merle.
Thank you.
Richard in Sauk City, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi. I just had a question. I was wondering how we could pray and stand up against the onslaught of evil that's going on at so many levels in our culture and society right now and in the government. It seems more and more difficult to pray for people and to stand up and reason with these people. I almost am tempted to pray for judgment instead of mercy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Richard, the Bible does tell us to be praying for our leaders and those who are in authority over us.
I agree.
And I agree with that. One thing we can do is be praying for the salvation of those who don't know Christ as Savior. We can pray that God would open their eyes. We can pray that they would recognize the accountability that they have before God, that they're not an end to themselves. We can pray that they would be an example to the sons and daughters of our land through the, you know, the offices that they hold. We can certainly pray that that their heart would be bent to do that which is right and that and not that which is evil. But we need to pray for the church, too. I mean, harken back to that last caller. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, heal their land. Those who claim the name of Christ, we need to turn from wicked ways here across this land as well.
Absolutely. I agree.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you very much.
We have Ann calling from Phoenix. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you, and God bless you. First of all, how could we make President Trump aware of naming that ship in that one man's
Harvey Milk
name?
Yeah.
How can we get that to him?
Well, you certainly can call the White House comment line.
Yeah.
That is 202 456-1111.
Okay, number one. Number two, how in the world could we get John Gondola or someone who knows about all these Hamas groups in our country and how they're sneaking into governmental offices under the guise of being Americans when they don't look Americans, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So how can we get all this information to President Trump without everybody knowing about it?
Well, that's very interesting because John Gondola, he actually goes around the country and he trains police departments. He developed the first anti-terrorism task force and the training manuals at the FBI. But that has all been wiped clean, whitewashed from this, and he is doing his best efforts to get the message out. He is regularly holding sessions with local police departments and speaking to groups like that and getting him into, you know, your area to speak. These are some of the ways to help get out the message, but you can call that opinion line there at the White House as well. I have to move on. We got a lot of callers lined up. Al in Bridgeport, West Virginia, you're on the air.
Brother Jim, I appreciate you taking my call today, and I want to talk about the transgender athletes. You know, of course, you know, we know we're not supposed to judge people, Jim. You know, judge yet ye not be judged, right?
Well, yeah, but also we're told to judge with a righteous judgment.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. But here's how you do it. You got a men's group, you got a women's group, and you got a trans group. Make three different qualifications, guess what happens? You won't have a whole lot of them wanting to compete, will you?
Okay, yeah, God made them male and female, and we need to remember that. Douglas in Ringgold, Georgia, you're on the air.
These comments we've had today just verify the imminent return of Jesus Christ.
Look up, for your redemption draws nigh.
That's right, sir.
And until then, occupy till I come.
That's exactly what it says, brother.
Thank you for the call, Douglas.
Thank you.
And let's pick up one last call. Somerset, Kentucky, and Melvin, you're on the air.
Thank you, Brother Jim. You're my own America, and especially in America. You know, that drag queen thing that you're talking about that's coming to Sesame Street?
Yeah.
It surprises me that nobody has commented on that. But that's exposing the children to something other that is absolutely against the Bible.
Yeah.
It's absolutely against God. And they don't need to be exposed to stuff like that. You know, if I got a little fella and it's ice cold outside, I'm not going to expose him to the cold weather. I'm going to warm him up.
Right.
So we need to get our eyes together and stand for the little ones. Thank you.
Thank you for your call here today, indeed. And knowing that young people are in the crosshairs here, I don't have the story before me right now, but I know a school was planning on bringing in a drag queen right into the school to talk to the kids. Parents rose up and said, we object, and they canceled the meeting coming up, and I'm thankful for that. But LifeSiteNews.com is asking for people to call Warner Media, who run HBO Max, and that number is 212-484-8000, 212-484-8000. Well, friends, yeah, we do need to occupy until the Lord returns. We are to be salt. We are to be light. And salt certainly has an impact upon a society. And light certainly lights, cast away the darkness. And let's share the light of Jesus Christ to a world that is so greatly in need. Thanks for listening today and every day. May the Lord bless you. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.